Welcome to CSEK News, the only news source in the North truly dedicated to local stories on the ground. CSEK News addresses the diverse needs of the underserved communities between Burns Lake and Haida Gwaii through firsthand stories and in-depth interviews. CSEK News funding is made possible by the Community Radio Fund of Canada, the only organization mandated to financially support campus and community radio stations in Canada, as well as the Government of Canada. We are your hosts, Pam Hassan and Dan Messick, and we are on the dial at 93.9 FM, Smithers Community Radio. Our call letters are CSEK, and we are broadcasting from the unceded Gitindam territory, home of the Wet'suwet'en Nation. Follow CSEK News online at smithersradio.com or follow us on Facebook or Instagram at Smithers Community Radio.
Today on CSEK News, last month the town of Smithers hired a new community safety and bylaw enforcement officer, a role that has been vacant since November 2022. David Pruden, a veteran community safety officer and a former RCMP officer, brings years of experience to the role, especially at a time when concerns and tensions around the encampment at Veterans Park is at an all-time high. But bylaw enforcement in a small community such as Smithers is not as easy as it sounds, especially when you're dealing with a situation as complex as housing, homelessness, and addiction, as well as the everyday responsibilities community and bylaw enforcement officers have that help govern this municipality. At the very basic level, it's mostly about education more than anything and building relationships with all community members. Today, we chat with David Pruden about his first month in Smithers, what lessons he brings with him from other communities, and what comes next in ensuring all residents, even those in encampments, are safe in their community. Stay with us.
I'm David Pruden, and I work for the town of Smithers as a community safety officer.
Great, David. Thanks so much for being with us on CSEK News. As I mentioned, of course, you know, there's been some discussion lately about the encampment at Veterans Park, issue of, you know, bylaw enforcement, changes to bylaws. But there's a lot more to it than just that. And also, you have a couple of roles, and it's not just bylaws. So maybe, firstly, tell us a little bit about the role that, both roles that you're in as our community safety officer, but also as our bylaw officer, and what do those roles entail?
Right. So as the community safety officer, part of that is assisting with the safety in the community outside of bylaw enforcement. So what that looks like is really assisting with administrative functions with the COP, so community policing, so citizens on patrol in the community. So that is something that during COVID had the brakes on it because people weren't out and interacting at that level. So now we're at a stage where we can hopefully get volunteers back out engaged and wanting to get involved in that program again. And I would be assisting with the RCMP and just helping the citizens on patrol getting back together in the community and playing an important role in the community as they did for several years. Mm-hmm.
And maybe you can explain a little bit about what's the role of the bylaw enforcement officer that you play?
Sure. So bylaw enforcement is different than policing. So one thing that we talk about is possibly changing some of the wording on the community policing office, because that can be a bit confusing, although there is a space in there that is for the RCMP. So that is, you know, a policing aspect. But for bylaw, there is no policing in bylaw. It's the enforcement of the municipal bylaws for the town. So anytime that any jurisdiction looks at implementing, adopting new bylaws, enforcing bylaws, what enforcing in that aspect really means is going out and educating people. So most people don't know all the bylaws of every town. When they move to a new community, they don't know them. Oftentimes, people that live in a community don't know changes that might be taking place in bylaws. And some of them may not be as intuitive as your typical crime, gee, I shouldn't steal, or different things like that. Whereas bylaws, there can be a lot of different things that maybe the council in the town and the citizens have agreed that, you know, we need to look at a certain bylaw and pass something because that's the way we would like our community operating within bylaw constraints or adoptions to make sure that the community is safe in the respect of, you know, dogs running loose or parking or property maintenance. So those are typically some very common things in most jurisdictions. So with that, my goal is compliance. And in compliance, it's all about education, education, education. So oftentimes I'll get asked about, well, what's the fine for this? And that, the fine is really not on the table until somebody decides that after being requested, given the information, explained why the bylaw exists, that they choose not to abide by the bylaw. Mm-hmm. Then I have to start looking at progressive enforcement possibly. Again, that can depend on so many different scenarios that I can't sit there and draw a box on what that looks like for any one thing. But the enforcement of the bylaws really is about education first, trying to get compliance. And then at the end of the day, yes, if we can't gain compliance in certain matters, then we look at what the steps of progressive enforcement might look like.
Yeah. Maybe you can, I guess, describe to me or take me through, you know, because there's so many different bylaws in our community, you know, thousands of them. Over time, and you know, some of them are new, some of them need to be enforced. Others, I know for a time, like the sign bylaw, for instance, on Main Street with a lot of the businesses, you know, compliance there. You know, how do you go about this? Is it something that you're actively looking into, or is it complaint based? So, what kind of happens if there is someone who is out of compliance of a bylaw? How does that process start? What do you do first?
Well, typically, again, as a new bylaw comes into place, the town tries to educate people as best they can. A lot of times the message just doesn't reach everyone. So that's, again, why I talk about ensuring the education gets there if something is reported to the town. So to your question about, you know, how when do we enforce or when do I enforce things? Yes, if something is reported to us, that's generally the first time that I'll go out to something. It doesn't mean, however, that if I am driving down Main Street and I see somebody parked in a handicapped spot that I can't issue a ticket. It doesn't mean that if a dog runs in front of me, I wouldn't, you know, pick it up because it continues to run in traffic, it might get hit. So certainly if things are right in front of me and they're important, I am allowed the flexibility to act on those things in accordance to whatever's taking place. But generally things are as a complaint basis or as things are brought in by the community to members of council or other staff within the town.
One of the other things I wanted to touch upon was you mentioned the citizens on patrol and that it was quite active before the COVID-19 pandemic. And so now it seems that there's obviously some desire to see that program restarted, reinvigorated. Maybe tell me a little about what exactly that program is, how you're trying to revive it, and how do people get to be part of that?
Right. So really we're at ground zero again with the program. There were a lot of fantastic folks in the community that were involved prior to COVID. It is volunteer-based. It is a society. So there are things that have to take place on that end. The society has to get struck again. Membership, people who would come forward and help lead that Citizens on Patrol program. The folks involved with that certainly would be out in the community. And they're really eyes and ears. The thing with my job as a bylaw officer is making sure I don't put myself in precarious situations because I don't have, as a police officer does, certain powers or tools at my disposal. So just like with Citizens on Patrol, we want to make sure the folks are safe that are engaging in that volunteer activity. So it's really eyes and ears, which is so valuable in the community because the police cannot be everywhere. I can't be everywhere. So having more people out in the community at different hours just helps provide safety, throughout the community from their perspective of watching things. It also provides everyone else a sense of, gee, there are people out there that are watching for our betterment in the community. Mm-hmm. So it provides a bit of a sense of security, not a false sense, because those folks are there, and if they see something, they certainly report it. Things get followed up on, they're there again as eyes and ears in all these different areas in town, trying to help make sure that we have a safer community.
I guess it'd be a prudent question. You know, we talked a little bit about this before, but what were you doing before this? It sounds like you have some background. You've been here in the north before, in Prince Rupert with the RCMP. Maybe tell me a little about your experience and some of the other experience that you bring from other communities here dealing with some of what I would imagine are similar issues.
Yeah, correct. So, I'd had service in the RCMP in Prince Rupert for several years in the 90s. I had moved back north to the Yukon and was involved in bylaw enforcement there for a couple decades. Moved to Saskatchewan around family there and had a desire to come back to the mountains. So Smithers, I knew of Smithers when I lived in Prince Rupert. Everyone says it's a beautiful place, and it certainly is all the times I've been through it. And so I jumped at the opportunity to come back to this area. And again, I love the Smithers area. Mm-hmm. As it relates to bylaw enforcement in other areas, Smithers is not unlike other areas. It's typically animal control, property maintenance, and traffic. Those are typically the things that most communities deal with. The newer thing on the landscape in the last decade and a half is the encampment issue. Something that is taking place, I don't want to exaggerate it, but it is taking place across the globe. There's other countries that are dealing with this across the seas. So, and it's certainly taking place all across Canada and all across North America. So places are trying to always find creative ways to try to help the situation. If there was a one size fits all, everybody would be doing it and the problem would be solved. It's not that simple. It is a very, very complex situation. And it's something that I know town council is taking very seriously, trying to get as much information as they can. It's something that we're involved with. When I say we, I mean the town and other levels of government and stakeholders with service groups in the community, trying to help the situation with the homeless encampment and everyone else affected by it. So again, it's a multifaceted issue that is going to take time and resources to help everyone involved. So many different things stemming in there, from addiction to, again, homelessness, pay, equity, whatever you might want to think. There, it's so many different things involved in it. So it is a complex issue that that we continue to strive to try to help everyone.
Speaking of which, obviously you come to the community at a time when this is, quite a heightened issue. As you mentioned, we've always seen a little bit of a level of homelessness, encampments, but obviously it's got to a point now. We had that meeting, the community open house. We heard from 200, there's 200 people in the room, and heard from a handful of them about some of the concerns. But there were, some people who said, oh, we just need to enforce our bylaws. We have bylaws, we just need to enforce them. What would you say to that? Because obviously it sounds like it's a bit more complex than that.
Yeah, and enforcement is only the answer for certain things. You can't issue a ticket to somebody who has no money. It doesn't mean anything. You don't take somebody who has nothing and try to take what little they have away from them, especially given consideration that most people would not choose to live in those sorts of situations. And the reason I say most is because, sometimes there are times when people will go out camping along the river and for subsistence do that sort of stuff. But people in general probably wouldn't want to live in an encampment by choice. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of different things there. And giving consideration to that, we're not going to help the situation by going in and escalating it. right? So enforcement, all that's going to do is escalate things to an unpleasant place. That's not something that that I believe the town wants to see is escalation of this issue. We want to help help the problem out by looking for ways to find solutions to help everybody, mm-hmm. right? And even in saying that, there might be different solutions for different parties of the folks that are at an encampment.
Yeah.
So again, that's why it's complex and it's not one size fits all. Is it could be a variety of things depending on which persons that you're engaged with.
You know, one thing I just want to touch upon is there was a letter from a business recently that was submitted to town council, an official complaint about some of the garbage piling up and some of the mess that is at the encampment. Obviously, there is a bylaw that they cited to make sure that those areas around town are cleaned up and are kept neat and tidy and that there isn't garbage just strewn around. When I was there at the encampment, there are signs that said, you know, there are weekly cleanups. How does that go? Are you part of that? Is that something that you try to go and speak with the residents of the encampment and help them and make sure that they keep it neat and tidy?
Right. So we did a cleanup that was done at the start of April. We will be doing another cleanup coming up here soon. The one in April, there's still ice. So some of the stuff was frozen to the ground. We don't really want to be in there for a long period of time. It stresses everybody out that's at the encampment when that sort of activity is taking place. We want to go in, and yes, we do go in prior and speak to the folks that are there. We're not there to cause undue hardship. We're there to try to, as you noted, there's a cleanliness factor. So we certainly want the area to be clean. We do talk to the folks in there about what that means and what that looks like. Sometimes you get people going in and out of the camp. So just like with all the other bylaws in town, depending on who's coming and going and what they know about the bylaws will often depend on the level of compliance. So we do get stuff that does start to build up over time. Some people, just like residences in the community, some folks are cleaner than others. So they need a friendly reminder of, hey, you know, we need to tidy this up because, you know, it doesn't look good in our community, right? So that area is a very traveled area, and we want to make sure that it's to a better standard than having garbage all around. Having said that, we do try to make sure that we're not going in every day. However, that being said, if there's a lot of debris, then we have to go in and clean up. So we kind of gauge when we go in and clean up by what's there. We do want to make sure that it is clean for the residents and folks coming and visiting our community.
Just the last thing for you, David. I guess two things. Maybe, you know, as we talked about earlier, this isn't just an issue exclusive to Smithers. Right across the Northwest, we've been seeing this as a heightened situation. Are you, you know, in contact, or is there a mechanism to collaborate with other communities, other community safety officers, bylaw enforcement officers in the region that may be dealing with similar problems?
Yeah. So as it relates to and what you're kind of talking about there is, you know, yes, we do have those sorts of problems, multi-jurisdictional across the country and within the province. Depending on what the emerging case law is, really kind of outlines what we're able to do within our bylaws and our enforcement procedures. So those can be moving goalposts at times. Mm-hmm. So we certainly chat with other folks in the enforcement community and in the legal, as far as town hall is concerned, period. We absolutely coordinate with other municipalities and jurisdictions about, you know, what are they doing in different places, what's working, what's not working, what are some things that we may want to try. So there's always conversations going on.
And finally, David, you know, you're relatively new here, you know, obviously getting into a new community, kind of figuring out the landscape, you know, kind of where things are at with many of these issues. What comes next? Kind of what are your priorities going forward?
Well, I haven't been here a full year, been here 1 month. So I like to, before I really get into delving into that sort of purview, is to spend a full year here and really see what everything is in the community, how the community goes through different stages through the year, and what takes place. As being new to Smithers, I need to observe what everyone in the community does. The community doesn't need somebody new coming in saying, well, you know, you should do this or that, right? So I want to observe what the community essence is, mm-hmm. and get to know folks in the community, the business community, all the other various stakeholders and service groups and levels of government. So all those relationship building components are very, very important to the role of a municipal enforcement officer. So that's, if I'm doing anything, that's my biggest thing in this year, is building those relationships. Am I here enforcing the bylaws? For sure. Again, compliance, education, those are the pieces that I'm looking at primarily. Down, you know, should I not get compliance, then we look at other enforcement venues. But it's really about in doing the engagement with the community and building those relationships the first year, for sure, and carrying that on as I move forward.
All right, thanks. We'll leave it there for now. We'll talk to you again.
Thank you.
You've been listening to CICK News. If you have any hot tips or news stories you think we should cover, contact us at CICKnews@smithersradio.com or follow us on Facebook at CICK News. CICK News is made possible by the Government of Canada and the Community Radio Fund of Canada, the only organization mandated to financially supporting campus and community radio stations across Canada. You can also catch our fresh shows each week at theskeena.com or subscribe to our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you find your podcasts. Thanks to our producer, Pam Hassan, and all of our roving reporters, I'm Dan Messick. Thanks for listening.